the studios of Radio Sai at Prashanthi Nilayam, I am Chandu Vijay and this is Love to Love. And today we have a talk by Brother Tribhuvan Sachdev. Brother Tribhuvan came to Bhagwan when he was just a year old and his parents were already very active in the Sai movement. He was in the first batch of students to have graduated from the Prashanthi Nilayam campus of the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning and also taught at Swami's University for 2 years. He was very fortunate to be a part of the Prashanthi Bhajan group and the Dramatics group during his student days. Currently, he is very active in the Sai organization, having been the district president of Indore in Madhya Pradesh. And in this talk, Brother Tribhuvan takes us through his journey with Sai, narrating some incredible experiences. This talk was delivered as a part of the Samarpan program at Vrindavan Ashram in January 2014. Stay tuned, dear listeners. After the talk, you'll be treated to some soul-stirring melodies from the album Sai Darshan, sung by Srimati Kavita Subramaniam. And at 3:30 p.m., we have the live Telugu segment, Sri Sathya Sai Divya Sandesha Chari. With that, over to Brother Tribhuvan Sachdev.
Om Sri Sai Ram. My most humble, prayerful salutations at the lotus feet of my most beloved Lord. Respected elders, respected Sanjay Sani sir, respected Ravi Kumar sir, lots of devotees and my dear young brothers and sisters. It is indeed a very sentimental day for me. It's like coming back home. I do not know what Bhagwan proposes to speak through me, but yes, today, when I was to come in the morning, I got the news that my flight has got delayed due to fog problems and I was to miss my connection from Bombay. And little did I know that I would be able to even reach in time. But then as our alumni has named this program Verily Samarpan, this is all about it. Leave it to the Lord. Do your best. And well, Lord is there to take care. So our Bhagwan, who's very much present here with us right now, he made sure that this date, which was there with all of us, he made sure that I could keep it. I was supposed to speak this evening with all of you on the subject which was given to me, Journey with Sai. I do not know where do I start from, but then yes, it takes me back into 1979 when I first entered this hallowed portals from that very door. But prior to that, let me tell you a little bit about myself. When I completed my 10th standard, it was my parents' ardent wish that I come and study in Swami's institution. And trust me, that was the last thing on my mind. Who wants to come and wear white and white? Who wants to become good? Who wants to do bhajans? I mean, who wants to lead a straight life in that age? My idea of thinking was, everything about you was, if someone could summarize what was your life all about, so I could say, my life revolved only around jeans, jazz, juice and junk. That's what all the teenagers were interested in. And I thought, coming to Sathya Sai College, I mean, you have to be good. No mobikes, no friends, no movies. So my first reply to my parents was, sorry, this is not my cup of tea. I am not going to Baba's college. It took them 1 year, probably tutoring me or probably trying to change my mind. And then I looked at my parents. They had such ardent desire in their heart that even their son would go and study in Swami's college. So I thought, Papa, my parents, they love me so much. So just to keep their heart, just to keep their wish, let me come and try and attempt an entrance examination, which I will surely flunk. So they have no reason if I don't get into an entrance exam and things like those. So then I can come back to my friends. So I said, okay, let's give it a try. So in June 1979, that is the first time I walked into the Vrindavan campus with great hopes in our hearts of not joining. I was, of course, accompanied by my younger brother, who was to seek admission in PUC 1, that was 11th standard as they call it, and I was to get into degree first year. When I came here, there was a technical glitch. Because I was into the 11 plus 3 system, and in South by which time 10 plus 2 plus 3 had already been introduced. So because of which, when I came here and met Principal Narendra, he spoke to my father and he said, well, I understand you want both your sons here, but technically speaking, only your younger son is eligible to come here because he's finished his 10th, so he can come very much into PUC1 or the 11th standard as you call it. But your elder son, who's seeking admission in the degree course, cannot seek admission because he's just done 11th. So my father was a little worried because the elder son was the one who was supposed to be in the college first. The younger son was anyway a saintly person. The crook was trying to get around. So then my father said, is there any way to it? He said, well, he's done his 11th from Madhya Pradesh board, which we do not recognize. But however, in case he chooses to join in PUC1, we would be willing to give him one more seat. So that means you do your 11th again, then do your 12th, miss out 2 years, go back, and what is worse, study with your own younger brother whom you thought was probably just a lallu fellow. So how could anyone think of that? My father gave me this option, would you like to come and join in Swami's college? I said, Dad, let me look around this place. Let me meet a few people. Let me see what this place is all about. All I could see was young boys going in white clothes with their heads down and with a saintly expression on their face, a vibhuti mark, some of them even a red mark on this thing. And I tried to compare myself with them. And I saw they had a serenity on their faces. They had a very beautiful expression on their faces, something out of the world which I had never seen, because we had long hair and, you know, the hippie kind of a look and the bell bottoms and that dubious elephant bottom style in the 70s which we used to have. And these guys were dressed so simply, so naturally, so nicely. And I compared myself to them and I realized there was something indefinable lacking in me. I couldn't pinpoint what it was, but there was something lacking in me. They spoke English so beautifully. They were so polite. They were so humble. When I reached the gate and I asked one of the brothers here, hello, gentlemen, can you please tell me where the principal's room is? So he looked at me from top to bottom, wearing jeans and t-shirts and things like those. He said, brother, have you come for admission? And I looked at him as if there was a great triumph that, okay, you recognize that I have come for admission. I said, yes, would you show me to the room to the principal, sir? So he said, sir, I'll take you myself. Please come. That humility with which he took me, and then he announced to Principal Narendra, sir, Mr. Sachdeva, along with his 2 sons, has come to see you. I believe he had sought time with you, and then he wants to see you. So I saw these boys were so humble, so sweet, so direct, so nice, and I realized they were everything which I was not. But nevertheless, as luck would have it, it was not destined that I get admission into Vrindavan, into Bangalore premises here. So my dad thought, let me give it one last try. In Adugodi, that time, Professor Kasturi, the biographer of Swami Satyam Shivam Sundaram and so many other books, was there. So we went to meet him. Swami was that time in Puttaparthi. So we went to see Professor Kasturi. So when we sat with Professor Kasturi, he gave a beautiful discourse on how students are so lucky to be with Swami. And it is probably after the lot of good karma which you have done in your earlier births that you get to come here and study. And everything went like a bouncer over my head. And I thought, this man seems to be a little off the track. That was my judgment of him. Then my dad asked him the million-dollar question. Sir, we have a problem here. My elder son is not getting admission. Principal says you can get admission provided you come into PUC1. But that way he loses 2 years. What would you do, sir, if you were in my place? Professor Kasturi's reply I still remember ringing in my ears. He said, in this age, if Bhagwan was to give me a chance to join in PUC1, I would gladly do it. That confirmed that this man was far away from reality in my thought process then. Then I told him, sir, don't you realize 2 years in a youth's life, going behind 2 years, that means 2 years behind employment, 2 years behind career, 2 years behind all that. I was talking things worldly. He just smiled at me and he said, you leave it to Bhagwan. He's the one who will take a call on you. And I thought, my goodness, thank God I'm not getting into this place. There are all kind of weird people giving you weird suggestions. But then my father and mother were very determined. They still asked Professor Narendra, how can we get my elder son inside? They said, sir, in Prashanti Nilayam, in Puttaparthi, this year Swami proposes to start a new college. Why don't you try in Puttaparthi, just in case if you get a chance, because that is in Venkateshwara University in Andhra Pradesh, other than Karnataka, you might just have a chance. So well, by which time my fate was sealed and I realized that there was no go and I cannot go back to Indore. And there was a little surge within my heart that I must try and see and what that place is all about. Off we went to Puttaparthi back. We went there, had Bhagwan's glorious darshans. And I realized that there were some old students, the old students and some summer course students used to be sitting in veranda. And every day Swami would come to them, talk to them. And I had a little envy in my heart, a little jealousy, that how come all these boys who sit in the veranda, Swami talks to them and I am sitting here in the sands and Swami doesn't talk to me. And I asked a few people, why does Swami talk so much to the students? He said, oh, Swami's students are the apple of his eyes. Swami loves his students. Do you realize if you become a student one day, who knows, Swami might love you also. Now with that came a surge in my heart that I must also try to get admission into Swami's college. After 10 days, we were informed that the admission process will still take almost 20-21 days to happen because the session was moved ahead a little bit. The college was not ready. The hostel was not ready. Nothing was ready. But the Swami's will was there that the Prashanti Nilayam campus has to start. Then the same problem came in the affiliation thing. Then out of the blue from Anantapur, one of the old devotees came who was father's friend. And he said, sir, don't worry. Even my daughter did 11th standard from... Even my daughter passed out from the 11th standard from Madhya Pradesh board. And I went to the Venkateshwara University. I got out a circular. And here is the copy of the circular. You keep the circular and make sure that your son gets admission. Now that was the last straw on the camel's back. The circular was in my hand. My parents handed me over the circular and left me at the mercy of that Sairam shed which was there where I was supposed to stay with so many other seekers of admissions. There were about 15-20 of us. And to top it all, after a few days, Swami decided to leave and he went to Bangalore. Now those 20 days which we spent, I did not know how to spend those days. So those 20 days were spent fruitfully in reading Bhagwan's literature, going to the samadhi and watering the plants, going to the canteen and serving food. And because you were young, you were enthusiastic, you were energetic, you wanted something to do. And you had so much of energy that 24 hours a day you were willing to work. So I totally busied myself in all these processes. And soon after, the admission started and Swami came back. And as one day Swami was passing by, I was sitting in the sands, and those were the days, just three or four lines of sands were there, and I had an opportunity to get up, and I had the book in my hand, Sai Baba, the Man of Miracles, and while reading it, I just got up, and Swami came and stood in front of me, and looked at me, and he waited for me to say something, and I was tongue-tied, looking Swami so closely, his tuft of hair, that beautiful crown of hair, and that wind blew a little bit, showing that small, beautiful mole. And then I realized, oh, Swami's got a mole on his face also. And he was exuding that divine smell when he was standing in front of you. And I was so tongue-tied looking God so close to you. And maybe those 20 days had done that magic on me. And I was totally probably on that way to transformation wherein I was praying to Swami. Swami looked at me and he said, He did like that. Say. And I said, Swami, tumhare college mein admission chahiye. You know, very boldly I said. And he looked at me. Deta. And he just walked away. So I was very happy. First conversation with God and he says, Deta. Granted. And then the interviews happened and all that happened. It was a foregone conclusion. We got into it. And the 1st of August, we realized we entered the hallowed portals of Prashanti Nilayam. And I used to see Swami going and talking to the students. And what was very surprising was the very first day I noted was that Swami exactly knew which boy spoke which language. So he would go to a boy who spoke Telugu and he would just ask, Ippudu Charu, and that boy would get up on his knees and answer Swami in Telugu. There was a guy who spoke Kannada and Swami spoke to him in Kannada. I was very impressed. Then there was one guy who looked typically South Indian and I said, Swami is going to go and speak to him in Telugu. And Swami went and spoke to him in English. Where did you come from, sir? And then he got up and said, Swami, I'm from United States of America. He had an accent in his voice, even though he was born Indian, he was actually born and brought up in US of A. So, Swami knew exactly everyone, what all they spoke and what languages were there. So when I looked at myself, Swami coming to me, I knew that this is the time Swami will get foxed. I said, I look like a South Indian, and Swami doesn't know that I know only Hindi. So Swami is going to come and speak to me in Telugu, and that's going to be great fun. So let's see how Swami comes and speaks to me. I mean, you know, this is how, what you call your childhood fancies with God and the way God plays with you. So this is how it was. So Swami walked straight to me one morning, and he asked me, very lovingly looking into my eyes, Tum kahan se aaya? And I was stumped. I said, my God, Swami spoke to me in Hindi. He said, Tum kahan se aaya? I got up on my knees, folded my palms, and I said, Swami, Indore se. The Swami looked around. Yes, yes, you are from indoor, not from outdoor. The first sign which Bhagwan gave that he has accepted you lock, stock and barrel. When he tells, Swami has this beautiful habit of punning on words. And when I said Indore, he says, yes, you are from indoor, not from outdoor. As if he's accepting you with both his arms, asking you to come closer, come to him, come to him, come to him. That was that one divine call, which I remember. And when I say it, you know, I have tears swelling up in my eyes every time I mention it, because I can still see it like a film, that when we were sitting in the portico in Puttaparthi, and how Swami would walk down to us, and how he would pick each one of us. Brother Ravi Kumar was a silent witness. He was doing his chemistry in Anantapur then, his post-graduation, and we used to see him totally sitting down every day in the veranda and with those thick books reading, and we used to wonder why he's studying so much. But then Swami had asked him, Swami had something bigger worked out for him. That is how it was. While we are on languages, I am reminded of one more very beautiful incident which happened while I was in Puttaparthi. We knew that, you know, Swami had very categorically spoken that you must love your mother, your motherland and your mother tongue. These three things Swami had always said. You must love your mother, you must love your motherland and you must love your mother tongue. And Swami displayed it every time when he showed his love for Maheshwaramba, when he showed love for his country where he was born, and when he chose to spoke in Telugu in spite of him knowing all the languages so well. But then physically, as Swami brings you closer to him, he puts in a little bit of Maya around you. We knew that Swami could speak all right in English. When we went for interviews, he could speak in English. But there were days he when I would speak to him in Hindi and he wouldn't understand, and he would tell the person sitting next, Kya bola? What did he say? Then he would translate it in Telugu and Swami would say, Acha, acha, you want this? Then he would give an answer. So we realized that Swami doesn't know all the languages all that well as he claims. Huh? And then one day, that the time of Christmas, the first Christmas we witnessed, and you wouldn't believe, in 70s and 80s, the kind of Europeans and Americans who used to pour into Prashantinilayam during Christmas. It would look like Bethlehem there. It used to look like, you know, it was Jesus' birthday. You would see only whites around there, no Indians. There used to be chartered flights in hordes of numbers coming to Bangalore, and we would stand and watch from the windows, one car, two car, three cars, four cars, 50 cars coming at a stretch from Bangalore airport, and people would get down, go down, and we would realize they would wear different color of scarves to show the countries they were representing. People from Italy, people from France, people from England, people from America, all these places, they would come in hundreds and thousands. So one such time, we realized that one group came from Italy and they chose to wear a blue color scarf. And they were almost about 35, 40 people. The gents would, and they were all wearing whites, the ladies also wearing white saris. And the ladies would wear the blue scarves, the gents would wear the blue scarves. And on top of it was written Italia, behind the blue color scarves. So we knew that this is one group from Italy. That evening, we had our duty in the Khayalda stores. We had a small provision stores, just as you have a provision stores here. So, we had a Khayalda stores there, where we used to go often and offer our services. And especially during the functions time. So we were all serving in the stores there, and this whole group converged there. They all came there, and we realized none of them, not a single person spoke in English. You know, they would say probably with actions, toothbrush. We would give them toothpaste, then they would say, no, no, brush, brush. Then we would give them brush. We would ask them for 10 rupee, they would give 100 rupee and keep on saying, Sai Ram, Sai Ram. And we would say, wait, and then take the change. So we realized that none of them spoke a single word in English. So when we closed the stores down, and as we proceeded to the canteen to have our food, because that time there was no hostel, and we used to stay in the old hostel where the Brindavan boys go and reside now when you go to Parthi. That was our hostel, and Ishwaramba school used to be our school, our college. That's where the classes used to go on in the first year. So, as we were walking, I asked one of my friends, I said, how is Swami going to speak to these people when he grants them an interview? None of them knows a single word in English. All of us, four of us, the wise people, you know, we started thinking, my God, what a difficult problem Swami has now at hand. How is he going to give them an interview and how is he going to speak to them? So one of the elderly ones who was more wiser than us, because he had stayed 2 years in Brindavan prior to coming to Puttaparthi, he said, no, no, see what happens in general public, Swami knows English, but he chooses to speak in Telugu, and who translates his lecture in English? That time Dr. Bhagwantam used to translate the lectures. So he said, Dr. Bhagwantam, he said, similarly, in a smaller interview, Swami would speak in English and somebody would be there who would understand little English. He would translate it for them in Italian, and that's how they will have a small conversation. Now this was, I still remember, at 7:30 or 8 o'clock in the evening, we spoke. And as we sat in the canteen, we forgot about it. Now next day evening, as the college got over and we went for darshans, I got the right place in the front to sit, and Swami went, and we saw as he crossed the lady's side, he went towards the gent's side, and when he went to the gent's side, he looked at the Italian guy who was sitting in the front, who was the leader of the Italian group. Swami looked at him and Swami said, Italy? He shook his head because he understood the name of his country. Swami said, go inside. He kept on giving a glorious smile to Swami. Swami looked at him, go inside. He kept on smiling even more. And then Swami thought probably no prapti for him, and Swami walked away. And as Swami went, we realized there was one more gentleman, the old Italian devotee, Bettino Craxi. He jumped from the behind the lines and went when Swami had moved ahead a little distance. And then he said, go inside. Swami is giving you for an interview. Whatever he must have told them in Italian. Suddenly, as if they got an electric jolt, the leader got up and he furiously started telling all the ladies to come. And the ladies also, they were also joyful expressions on their faces. They came. Now the situation. Boys are sitting here, the gents are sitting here for interview, and the ladies are sitting only where this mic is lying. And in between was a small passage, and the interview door was here where the second mic is lying. Now Swami finished his round and he came straight. And as he came straight, he looked at me and gave that mischievous, all-knowing smile. And I realized, oh, Swami's smiling at me. And I smiled even, I beamed, and I gave back the smile to Swami. Then Swami looked at an Italian lady. I still remember she was wearing a brown dress or something, and she had a letter, and she had a very pathetic expression on her face. Swami went to her, just 2 steps moved towards her, and he took the letter, and I heard with my own ears what Swami spoke was not English, not Telugu, not Hindi, no Indian language. It sounded something like Trantatro or something or whatever. It sounded like an Italian word or whatever. And that lady fell down at Swami's feet and she started profusely crying. And this was the same lady whom we had met last night, who did not speak a single word in English. And not happy with this performance, Swami came straight to me and then looked into my eyes. And he told me in English so that everybody could hear, outside I show I do not know anything, but inside I know everything. The first experience, I heard Bhagwan speak in Italian. And I couldn't believe my own eyes. And just a night before that, I had said, how is Swami going to give them an interview? Pat came the reply. You know, our Bhagwan is very fond of accepting challenges. Whenever anybody throws any challenge to Bhagwan, he accepts it with both the hands and throws it back to him. And he backs, and that throwing back has got so much power of his love that it engulfs you. It bowls you over, probably, you know, the middle stump every time. So this is how it was. No other doubts after this. So this is how our journey with Bhagwan started, wherein every day used to be an experience. Just as I related to you this experience, the person next door or the person next sitting to you would have another experience. And this is where Swami taught us that He was all-knowing right from the day one, and there was nothing you could hide about it. Then suddenly, yes, Swami would come, because Swami had to balance between the Vrindavan and the Parthi campus. He suddenly one day left in the morning, and with sad hearts, we bid goodbye to Bhagwan. Now after Swami left, it was announced that we are going to have an elocution contest in the college, and the subject would be My Life in Sri Satya Sai College. The topic would be spoken in three languages. You were supposed to speak in English or Telugu or Hindi. I was not much of a speaker. I had been an actor and I had won a few awards prior to this. Never much of a speaker. So my warden asked me, "Tribhuvan, what are you going to speak on?" I said, "Speak on? I've just been here for a month and a half. And what do I speak on My Life in Satya Sai College?" And that too, I was a little hesitant whether I should be speaking, not speaking. Then they had chosen people to speak in English, in Telugu. There were very few speakers to speak in Hindi. So I was said, "No, you are to speak in Hindi." I said, "Sir, but I am not a very good speaker." He said, "No, you speak in Hindi. You have a very good Hindi." I said, "Okay, fine, if you think so, I'll speak." Now, prior to this, I had never spoken. And in fact, I remember once I had spoken in school days, and luckily those were the days of the elephant bottoms, you know, the pants. So even if your legs shook, nobody would know that your legs are shaking. So that was the time, you know. So this time I realized our pants were also tight, and if you stand there in front and your legs shake and you speak like this, my God, you'll become a laughing stock. But then Swami had to train you for bigger things to come. So I gave my name. And those were the days I used to be heavily into bhajans, meditation, Nagar Sankirtan. Never used to waste my time. The first beautiful spiritual experience Swami gave me was this, that one evening, that just a day prior to the day I was supposed to speak in the morning, I sat down in that black canteen, which is the ladies' canteen now. That's where we used to go and have our food. And I thought, what should I write? What should I speak? And as I sat, I held a pen in my hand and a diary. And I suddenly realized, ideas flowing out of you and flowing with such speed that my hand moved in such a furious pace, and I looked like this. My hand was actually automatically moving as if a force is making you write that speech. And I said, "Wow, this never was experienced by me, that ideas are flowing out of you and an unseen hand is doing." And I did not have to memorize, I did not have to remember, I did not have to mug up and anything, because everything came from the heart. I sat down in the morning, what I had written, I read it once, and my name was called when I went there. And as luck would have it, because it was again Bhagwan's plan, that day all the boys spoke very well, but when the results were to be announced, they announced that Mr. Tribhuvan Sachdeva spoke the best, and he had spoken the best in terms of content, in terms of language, and whatever, whatever. I was very happy, very overjoyed, and I went and received the summer showers in Vrindavan 1979 from my principal, Principal Amrendra, who gave it to me, and I touched his feet and took his blessings, and then I went down to Bhagwan, and I had just one grouse in my heart. I said, if only today Swami was in Puttaparthi, in the evening when we would all go for darshans, Swami used to come and inquire, "Aaj kya kiya? Aaj kya khaya? What did you have to eat? What did you do in the college? Which subject did you study? Imra, you were sleeping in the class today, do you know?" And then he would catch up, "Why do you talk so much in the class? And my goodness, it used to be as if there is a spy camera on you. Bhagwan's divine eyes used to be there watching you through and through. What we did every day," he would relate to two or three guys every day to show his divinity to us, that he's watching us very closely. So one, like a small child, I had a thing in my heart, if only today Swami was there, Swami would probably ask, "What did you do?" And I would gladly get up and say, "Swami, I got the first prize in the elocution contest today." But that was not to be, because Swami was in Vrindavan. Now, what happened in Vrindavan here, I would just want to relate to a beautiful experience. Swami had already been there for 6 or 7 days in Vrindavan, and my younger brother, whom I call a fakir, he's virtually like that, he still continues to be like that, he has a heart of a fakir. So he used to always see Swami from a distance, just absorb him in his heart. and feel happy that I have had the Lord's darshans. He did not have too much desire to go and sit near him or touch him or ask him to talk to him. And Swami would talk to him once in a while, and Swami used to love him a lot, this much I know. And he used to work in the garden, and that evening he finished his work in the garden, he got late, and by the time he entered the bungalow, that time it was bungalow, and they used to have a windows darshan also. In the sense, when all the boys would sit in the drawing room, Ravi Kumar sir would know, there was no place for anyone to have darshans, so there was one window. So boys would stand in that window, and he was almost 6 feet 2 inches, so he would stand tall and just have Swami's darshans from the window. But that day he had probably another 2 or 3 guys who were 6 footers, and they were standing, so he could not have any darshans. So he felt a little lonely, he felt a little let down that day in his heart, and he was missing his home, he was missing his parents, and he realized, he said, what is this, Swami? Last 1 week you have been here, you have not spoken to me even once. To all the boys you speak, am I not your child? Am I not your son? This is what you told me, but you don't love me, Swami. Then he looked around, where do I sit for having Swami's darshans? There was no place to sit because it was packed. So there was a small pond, water pond, which had a statue of Lord Krishna there. So he told in Hindi, he said, Baba, tum mujhse baat nahi karte to mat karo, Lord Krishna is going to talk to me. Even if you don't talk, I don't care, Baba, I'm going to talk to Lord Krishna. Now, he sat in the bhajans with his back towards Bhagwan, facing Lord Krishna. Because anyway, boys were covering, Swami couldn't have seen. Now there was a Krishna bhajan going, and he was sitting and clapping loudly and singing bhajans. Suddenly someone came and gave him one hard slap on his head. And he got angry and looked around, and suddenly he saw Swami standing in front of him. Totally that orange robe, and you know, literally standing so close that he moved back and then fell down at Swami's feet. Kya karta? Hamari taraf peet karke ko baitha, aise baitho. Swami told him, come on, turn your back and sit facing me. He told him. He said, yes Swami. He immediately got a reply. And then he said, you know something? I was looking for you during darshans, but you were not there. Where were you? He said, Swami, I was doing my duty in the garden, vegetable garden, so I got late. Why I wanted to talk to you was, today there was an elocution contest in Puttaparthi, and your brother got the first prize. So I wanted to tell you, you please communicate Bhagwan's blessings to him, and tell him Swami is sending blessings.
To Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
This was Swami's way of working. You know how he would hit two targets with one stone. He talked to my brother, he let him know that he is the all divine loving mother, and he also communicated to me that no, I don't have to be physically there to know that you are there. And that was the time before Swami came. Every year during the Dasara time, it used to be the duty of the Vrindavan boys to put up a lovely program, either in music or a drama or a dance or things like those. So that time there was a college in Puttaparthi, and there were some young boys, all of us who were there, raring to go. So this time Swami said, on Dasara, just before one day prior to this, let the Puttaparthi boys do something. So they said, what should we do? So our professors and teachers who were there, some of them were very good dramatists who had had lovely exposure, who were trained by Bhagwan himself. They were the ones, and they said, we will do a drama on the life and teachings of Ramakrishna Paramhamsa. Now they started looking for a role of Ramakrishna Paramhamsa. And like I said, I was too simple, and I went and told the professor, I said, so why are you taking all this screen tests and all that? I can do this role of Ramakrishna Paramhamsa. So he looked at me, he said, who's this fellow? What does he think of himself? Okay, read out this passage. I said, no, I don't need to read a passage. I had won a national award in doing Samrat Ashoka's role in Delhi, in the school functions. So would you want me to read out, or would you want me to emote that passage, what I spoke? There was a soliloquy wherein Samrat Ashoka comes to the stage when he realizes what a foolish thing he did by taking on the war of Kalinga and killing so many people. And with that guilt, he pleads to God that, God, please forgive me. So that was a very, very, very pathetic scene. So an actor which I was, I immediately enacted that role and showed it to them, and I saw their jaws drop. I had to literally go and close their jaws and said, sir, the role is over. And they started clapping. And I realized three of them got up and clapped for me. And I suddenly, ego came forward. Ah, I am somebody. So I said, sir, how did you like my role? They said, we have found our Ramakrishna Paramhamsa. Another boost to ego. Then we sat down and we started practicing. And then the warden started telling me that this is a very difficult role. What is a role difficult? I can do any role. That was my, you know, take on this. He said, no, you don't understand. This is a very, very different kind of a role. That was a very dramatic role which you did, but this is not the dramatic role. It is a different role. This is the role of a saint. And after a few days of practice, Swami came in the evening Monday from Bangalore, and he was sitting there, and he asked our professor, how's that practice going on? So he said, Swami, with your grace, everything is going fine. Then he said, who is doing the role of Ramakrishna Paramhamsa? So I got up and Swami looked at me and spoke something in Telugu. And Swami smiled at me. I couldn't follow head or tail what Swami said. So I asked Sheshagiri Rao, my friend sitting next to me from Hyderabad. I said, what did Swami say? He said, Swami said, the choice is appropriate. Now you asked Raghuvan Sachdev, I was walking 2 inches above the ground. I thought no end of myself. I said, now this is a role. When Bhagwan himself says I am an appropriate choice, who could do this role better? You know, Swami has a way to teach you. When I started doing this role, I realized it was the most difficult role of my life. Here was a man who was God realized, yet he had childlike innocence. Now, how do you portray a man who has realized God, a person who has seen Mother Kali, and yet he bears that childlike innocence? You must have that pious expression, you must have the childlike expression, you must have that spontaneity, you must have that ability to emote all those emotions in those few minutes when you get those dialogues. It was a hell of a difficult task. And one day, I sat in front of Baba's picture and started crying. I said, Swami, enough. I know you have taught me my lesson. This role cannot be done unless and until you bless me. The very next day I sat and Swami came out with a book on life of Ramakrishna Paramhams. And he gave it to me and he said, for the next few days, don't go to the college. Look at what Bhagwan said. Don't go to the college. Read this book. Be alone. Don't talk to your friends. Absorb his life. Learn to understand what Ramakrishna Paramhams was. When you do that, you will be able to easily do it. Now nobody knew what was the conversation I had with Bhagwan's picture. But spontaneously, the response came and that book came. And promptly, for the next 3-4 days, I sat down, missed my classes, and I did that role. And every day evening, Swami would come for 1.5 to 2 hours in the green room. He would sit there with us, direct us, enjoy with us, play with us, sometimes offer us lollies, ice creams and whatnot. And then, you know, he would come and tell us. And those were the times he would teach us also how we should be doing. Now we were youngsters, we had no idea of that time there was no compulsion of white and white also. Some of the students used to wear white. Most of us who were newcomers would wear the short t-shirts and jeans and, you know, come and stand there in front of Swami with hands in our pocket like this. Can you imagine standing in front of Swami like this? But we used to stand and Swami would call up, we would go like that and look around and, you know, as if people are watching me or not talking to Swami. This was the mannerism stupidly we used to do. Then Swami would make us call and come down to him, and during the play he would say, hey, what is this cowboy dress you are wearing? You must wear good clothes, simple clothes. Ah, so now you understand. These jeans and short t-shirts are not something Swami expects you to wear now that you are his students. So you must wear something better. So next year onwards, all of us were into something simpler, something white, something which would probably meet Swami's approval. Then he would say, hey, no talking too much amongst us boys. Try to keep to yourself. And there was a group of rowdy who was supposed to do a rowdy scene in that play also. And Swami used to love that scene. Every time that scene would come, because Swami Vivekananda was supposed to go and bash them up and try to bash them up. And then how Ramakrishna, you know, kind of reprimands Vivekananda and tells him that you are a person who's like a tire which has got too much air in it. And one person who's at Hazra who comes back, he tells him you have no air at all in you. So you know, those are the kind of things Swami used to teach us and tell us and make us do. Beautiful time we used to have with Bhagwan. Those are the best learning experiences we had. At the end of it all, Swami said, what is this? You are not showing the true bhakti of Ramakrishna. You know, when he used to think Ma Kali as Lord Rama, the story says, it says that he used to behave like Hanumana. And when he used to behave like Hanumana, in those days, his mannerisms became like that of a monkey. He would jump around and go to a place, and he used to think that he is Lord Hanuman, and that was Mother Kali was Lord Rama. He says similarly, when he went into the Radha Bhakti fame, he used to think that he is Radha. His mannerisms became like a lady. He would cover his head, and you know, he would sit there like a lady would do, and he would be shy to talk to gents, and he would be thinking of only Krishna, Krishna consciousness. Swami said, you're not enacting that bit. Now, how do you enact that? So Swami said, I have a song of Subbalakshmi. You play that song, and in that song, let Ramakrishna emote all these expressions. So I remember that Subbalakshmi song used to be played every time, and my voice is very bad, but I can hum a few lines. Pyare darshan dijo, tum bin rayo na jai. Pyare darshan dijo, tum bin rayo na jai. Now these were the lines which used to start and with which I had to enter, I had to enact like when I am a Hanuman or when I am Radha. So it used to be like that. The first two or three parts when I am a servant of mother, I would enact. When it was the monkey's role, I could enact. But every time I would enact that lady's role, even Swami's would laugh. And Swami would say, no, not like this, you know. Ladies don't do like this. Ladies are a little more delicate. Huh? Try to put a little delicacy in your steps when you walk. You walk like a man. And you know, in front of Swami, they used to make me wear a ghagra and you know, put a chunni. So it used to look so odd, you know, but to be doing it. And then for the next 3 days, I practiced the step of Radha Bhakti in front of everyone. And you know, after every time I finished, even the director used to laugh. And they used to say, sir, you are anything you are looking like. You are not looking like anything. So my goodness, I got so upset. I said, what is this? You make fun of me every time I enact the role of a woman. Why don't you tell me how to do it? I told my director. I told him, I said, if you think you are making fun of me that I am not able to enact a woman's expression, it is natural. Yeah, I am not able to do it. But why don't you do it? I told him. So my professor realized, oh, this is going negative. Yeah, this will have a different impact on him. So he said, no, you are doing fine. Just this time make sure that today when you go, you are a little delicate. So when we started off Pyare Darshan Dijo Na, so I started doing it and I was very conscious. Swami said, Udhura, no, not like this. See, when you go, no, and the women go, they hold like this. And then they go round like this. Swami is doing it on the chair. And when you go, no, your expression should go like this. And I was looking at Swami. I said, Swami, you're doing it so well. And I'm not able to do it. Then Swami said, try. Again we did. And again everybody was laughing. Swami said, shh, no laughing. Again you do. Again I did this time. Swami said, no, not like this. And Swami got up from the throne and he said, play. And as they played, Swami walked daintily like this. He came down. He showed his fingers, his eyes and that expression. And my God, all of us with our mouths open. And Swami took a circle and hid his face with the handkerchief and went and sat on the chair. I can never forget, just 6-7 of us sitting there, and Swami enacted that scene so beautifully. I mean, I was stuck with my mouth open. I did not realize that we had God virtually doing a role as an actor, as a girl would do probably on the stage. And then Swami hid his face with his handkerchief and he felt so shy that he did it in front of us. And he said, do it. And he was laughing and feeling pleased and happy. And you know, all those mixed expressions, and we were just flabbergasted. And suddenly Swami looked down at Professor Kasturi sitting with on near Swami's throne, and he was sitting like this with tears profusely flowing out of his eyes. Swami said, "What happened to you?" He said, "Swami, I wrote in Satyam Shivam Sundaram that how you enacted that role of Rishendra Mani, I did not believe that you could have done that, but Bhagwan, today after seeing you like this, I know that you must have done that role of Rishendra Mani in Bukkapatnam when you were merely 11 years old." And all of us clapped to our heart's content. I mean, what a revelation. A devotee who's written Swami's biography is saying that, "Swami, this is a revelation for me that you would have actually done it." Then Swami asked me, "Do you know Rishendra Mani's story?" I purposely said, "No, Swami." And everyone asked, "Do you know?" He said, "No." "Okay, Kasturi, tell them the story of Rishendra Mani." Now the total, this thing came on Kasturi Garu. And Kasturi Garu, full of love and affection, and the beautiful way he would relate that story of Rishendra Mani, how the villagers came to Swami, and how they said that we have sold out all our tickets, and that famous actress of Rishendra Mani of Chennai is not going to come because she has a sore throat, she can't sing, she can't act. Would you do that? And Swami agreed to do that role, and he donned a wig, he wore the woman's dress, and till the performance got over, nobody got to know. In fact, at the end of the performance, the highlight of it was that the dancer goes back on her, this thing, and picks up the pins with her eyes. And Swami told that I had to pick up that, and that was the high prime point of the dance, which Swami did. And everyone clapped so much. But after the program got over, only then it was revealed that it was Balak Satya from Puttaparthi village who had enacted this role, and not that Rishendra Mani who was supposed to come from Chennai. So that story was told to us in such a lucid way that even till today it rings into my ears, the beauty of Swami, that getting up, taking a twirl and sitting down again. I think only God could have done, only God could have given us what He did. I want to ask a question here. I want to take a pause. I want to ask a question. How many of us pray regularly? Please lift your hands. How many of us pray regularly? There's nothing to feel shy about it. We all do, and we all know. I'm saying pray regularly. I'm not saying meditation. I'm not saying bhajans. I'm not saying that. Okay. Out here, everybody prays regularly. Now, another question I would like to put up. Do our prayers reach God every time? Does God reply to our prayers every time? Sir, difficult question. Not every time. Most of the time Bhagwan is there, sir. But sometimes, most crucial time, sir, He gives heart. He disappears, sir. Lot of difficulty, lot of problem. What to do, sir? Prayers don't reach Him sometimes. So what is the reason for that? Is it because Bhagwan has got hair around His ears and we have to shout to be heard? Huh? Or we remove His hair and then, Bhagwan, please do this. Huh? Why is it that our prayers do not reach? Swami used to ask us this question. So, I want to relate to you a small experience. When I joined Swami's college, it used to be my routine that after evening bhajan, I used to get out of the Prashanti Nilayam Mandir, and where you have a gate now, there used to be a Dashavatar gate, and opposite the Dashavatar gate used to be a beautiful white marble statue of Lord Ganesha with a red background around that garden circle which used to be there just in front of it. So after the bhajans would be over, the meditation session would be over, I would go down and bend down in front of Lord Ganesha, kiss His feet, do little pad seva, and ask two things to Him. I would say, "Lord, please give me vidya and sadbuddhi." I used to ask two things, only two things, vidya and sadbuddhi. Why vidya? Because I used to think, Swami has said, knowledge is that ornament which nobody can take away from you, which nobody can steal from you. Knowledge is power. If you have vidya, you are a person whom everybody will be seeking, and you will be able to give gyan to so many people. So I thought, well, as a student, vidya is the primary thing I must seek. And why sadbuddhi? Because I thought, if sadbuddhi is there, if discrimination is there, if good sense prevails on me, I will walk the path as shown by Swami every time. So I would continuously go on praying to Lord Ganesha, that, "Lord, give me vidya and sadbuddhi, vidya and sadbuddhi." Now this process kept on going for 2 long months. One day Swami thought, enough is enough. Yeah, these people keep on going asking all kinds of things from me. So one day Swami thought, let me teach all these fellows a lesson. So Swami took us all for an interview. One fine evening, the sun was just going down. Lots of birds were twittering on the trees which were there in the ashram, because we were sitting on the sands, and Swami would come and talk to all of us very often. And that day Swami took us all for an interview and made us all sit in a semicircle there. Some senior boys, some of us. And then that day Swami's discourse was purely on prayer. And Swami said, why do you pray and why your prayers do not reach me? Then Swami looked and he gave various reasons, beautiful reasons why your prayers do not reach. And then he gave a beautiful example of writing a letter to Bhagwan. He said, if you write a letter to Bhagwan, a beautiful letter, you have a beautiful envelope, you write a letter, my most beloved Bhagwan, my humble pranams to you, Swami, this is my problem, Swami, I want to relate to you, this. You write, you seal that letter, fold it, put it in an envelope, seal that envelope, write down to Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, Post Office Prashanti Nilayam, District Anantpur, Andhra Pradesh, pin code 515134, and you mail it. And then Swami asked us, would this letter reach me? So all of us shook our heads, yes Swami, the letter would reach you, because the address is correct, the sender has written his name, the letter is inside. And Swami said, no, the letter is not going to reach me. So we looked at Swami, why? He said, the most important ingredient is not placed on that envelope. He said, what is it, Swami? Swami said, that 5 rupee postage stamp. If you do not put a postage stamp on that letter, I can refuse that letter. I will not accept a letter which does not bear that postage stamp. Similarly, why does your prayers do not reach me all every time? He said, because you do not put the postage stamp on those prayers. So we asked Swami, Swami, what is that postage stamp? And Swami said, postage stamp is personal sadhana. You must do bhajans regularly. You must do, even if it is for 10 minutes, a session of meditation. If you do not do personal sadhana, you will not get what I have come to give you. What have I come to give you? So we said, Swami, moksha. Keep quiet. What will you gain if you do prayers and meditation? Swami, we will gain you. No. But Swami, you only said that in Kali Yuga, if we do Namasmarana constantly, we will get God. Yes, you will get God. But what is it, the direct ingredient you get when you do prayers, when you do bhajans, when you do meditation? Then Swami said, what you get is Chitta Shuddhi. And when you get Chitta Shuddhi, after that individual sadhana, the personal sadhana, your prayers reach to me like an arrow. Nobody can stop that. And I have no reason why I will not respond to it. So you must never miss out on your personal sadhana, come what may. This is the direct hotline which Bhagwan had given to us. And then he asked us a very material question. You know, I have such a great following here in Puttaparthi and around and everywhere throughout the world. But all those devotees, you know, they are all like beggars. So he looked at Swami. Swami, they are like beggars? Yes, they are all like beggars. Why, Swami? Why are they like beggars? They are constantly asking me worldly things only. Somebody asked me for money. Somebody asked me for posting, somebody asked me for a car, another person asked me for a bungalow, another person asked me for getting married, one who is married then he wants a child, one who has a child then he wants a boy child, when he has a boy child then he wants a marriage, when he wants a marriage then he has this problem, when one person has one bungalow then he wants 2 bungalows, if he has a scooter he wants a car, if he has a car he wants a bigger car, and one who is probably an officer wants to become a commissioner, one who is a minister wants to become a chief minister, the chief minister wants to become a prime minister. There is no dearth of people who come to me and keep on asking me only worldly things from me. He kept on doing it and we all shook our heads. Then he looked at me straight in my eyes and he pointed out like this. But there are some devotees like this here who do not ask any worldly things from me. And then he said, no. So my God, it was like, you know, somebody had picked up a spear and thrown like this with that jolt. Swami said, but there are some devotees here who do not ask me worldly things. Then he said, no. I said, just folded my hands and said, yes, Swami. There are some devotees who ask me Vidya and Sadbuddhi. Vadura, you ask me Vidya and Sadbuddhi, no? Swami did like this. With all that love which Bhagwan could muster. And I looked at Bhagwan with tears flowing from my eyes, Swami, what is this mystery? I am praying that to Lord Ganesha, and the prayer is reaching in that window at Bhagwan's this thing, where Bhagwan is saying that you are asking me for Vidya and Sadbuddhi. And then Swami asked me, why do you ask all these worthless things from me? Huh? Worthless thing? Vidya, Sadbuddhi. Material things I understand are worthless. But Vidya and Sadbuddhi? Swami said, do not ask any worldly things from me in your prayers. Never ask any worldly things from me. Don't ask even Vidya and Sadbuddhi. Shall I tell you what you must ask in your prayers to me? Now that was a moment of suspense for us. We all nudged forward, and now we all surrounded Swami. Some of us caught hold of his feet. One person caught hold of his hand. And you know, we were so close. Swami, please tell. Swami, please tell. What should we do? What should we ask in our prayers? Swami said, as devotees, you must never ask anything from God. What must you ask? Swami said, in your prayers, you ask for me and me alone. When you ask for just me, remember, in my hand, I have car, bungalow, posting, ministership, money, marriage, children, Vidya, Sadbuddhi, everything is in my hand. When you ask for Bhagwan Baba, you get everything. But if you ask for money, September 1979, I still remember. Bhagwan told, do not ask for any worldly things. And my dear brothers and sisters, trust me, from that day I have never prayed for any worldly thing in my life. I have only prayed for the Lord and Lord Himself. And as a mother, she knows what a child desires. She knows even before the child says whether you are hungry or you want to be dressed or what is it that you desire. Never has it happened. He has given you everything what your heart would have desired without your asking, because you are constantly asking for Him and Him alone. And then Swami gave a beautiful example. He said, look what happened at the war of Mahabharata. When the war of Mahabharata was to be fought, Lord Krishna had to decide which side was he to fight on. So both Arjuna and Duryodhana came. Duryodhana came and sat near Lord's pillow, and Arjuna came later and sat near Lord's feet. When Lord got up in the afternoon, the first thing he saw was Arjuna, and he looked at Arjuna. Oh Parth, when did you come? He asked. And Duryodhana cleared his throat. Lord, I am also here. Then he said, oh, please come in the front and sit. And then Swami related the story. He said, Lord, you know our purpose of coming here. We want you to inform us on whose side will you fight this war of Mahabharata. Then Swami said, this is a Dharma Yuddha. So I am not going to take any weapons in my hand. I will be there on one side, absolutely unarmed. And on the other side would be my army, my armory, my horses, my elephants, my camels, and everything whatever you want. So who's going to take the first pick what that you want? Now Lord had already sowed those seeds in the heart of Arjuna. But Arjuna did not have that first chance. The first chance was Duryodhana, because he came first. So Duryodhana thought that there can be no bigger warrior and no bigger warlord than Lord Krishna. But if he's not going to fight, but if he's not going to pick up the arms, what is the use of picking him up? He'll only be there as an advisor. So I have many advisors. Let me take his army and armory and all the elephants and horses and all those things. So he said, Lord, I think I will take on your army and everything. I think that should be it. And Lord, hearing this, Arjuna fell at Lord Krishna's feet. And he said, Lord, I just want you by my side. I just want you, Lord, because if you are there on my side, I know it will be Vijayi Bhava. I know, Swami, I know this. And Swami said, look, history shows that when Lord Krishna fought, or Lord Krishna was on the side of the Pandavas, they got the kingdom. They got fame, they got name, they got Vidya, they got Sadbuddhi, they got the Gyan of Gita Gyan. Who got this? Arjuna got it. The Pandavas got it. So Swami said, always pray for Lord only in your prayers. So dear brothers and sisters, so many years back Bhagwan had implored this call. Those of you who are into his fold should also know maybe Bhagwan wants each one of us to be reminded again that in our prayers there can be nothing more important than praying for Him and Him alone. Because He has everything in His hand. If He decides to open that hand, He will give you the world. And I have seen over the last 40 years of my stay with Bhagwan that to each person He has given what He wanted, what He desired, provided you pray with a sincere heart. So I implore all of you that develop this habit of personal sadhana and do not miss out on this habit of praying regularly to Bhagwan. I would like to relate to you all a very personal experience. Normally, I would have detested from relating this personal experience to all of you, looking at the number of people here, but then I find there are so many of my young boys, brothers here who are here, and they are going and passing through a very crucial phase in their life. Just as I was once upon a time, I was also 18 years, 19 years, 20 years. And those are a very crucial period when you are growing and your hormones play a little havoc on your body, on your mind, on your system. And you do not know whom to turn and ask for help. So maybe this thing is for you. And as for the devotees, they can enjoy this prasad which Bhagwan had given to us long time back. In all humility, I am telling this experience to you. When I was there as a Swami student, I used to love there, sitting in bhajans, going for Nagar Sankirtan, taking a chance to meditate. After about a couple of years, about a year and a half or so after that, after innumerable interviews, experiences with Bhagwan, came one day that when I would sit for meditation, I could not meditate. My mind would wander here and there to all the places. It would think of all unruly things. In spite of my being there, in the vicinity of God Himself, my mind would think of all unlikely things, undesirable things, and I used to get so disturbed, thinking that why am I getting such bad thoughts also in my mind? And I used to pray fervently to Bhagwan, that Bhagwan, why are you testing me thus? Every time I would sit down to meditate, instead of getting good thoughts in my mind, I would get bad thoughts in my mind. I would get negative thoughts in my mind. And I would wonder, why Swami is doing this? And I tried controlling these thoughts, thinking that maybe if I control them, maybe if I turn my mind elsewhere, maybe if I do this, if I do that, I do this, things will go, but it only got worse. Every day for a week I suffered this agony. I could not meditate and I felt so disturbed. All I did was one afternoon, feeling so hurt, I did not go to my classes. I bunked those classes, sat down to write a letter. And I wrote everything which was happening to me, the bad thoughts I was getting, the negative feelings I was getting through. And little did I realize that these were processes of phases of growing up in your life. That when you are crossing, hormones change and there are hormonal changes in your body, you have different kind of experiences you get. But little did I realize, and I thought that probably in spite of being in Swami's vicinity, Swami's closeness, why am I getting these negative thoughts in my mind? So I sat down and wrote a beautiful pathetic letter to Swami, in which I wrote down my heart's feelings that Swami, I'm not able to think correctly, I'm getting all negative thoughts, and why is it happening to me, Swami? When I'm your child, when I'm sitting with you, why are these things happening? Why do bad thoughts come at all into my mind? Why should they be coming? And I wrote it, and I immediately, without thinking twice, made a letter of it, put it in a beautiful envelope, wrote to Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, my Lord and my life. And I put that envelope and in walked to the mandir. Those were the beautiful days when you could go and knock at Bhagwan's door, and one of your friends, it used to be either Divakar or Ravi Shankar or Lakshmi Narayan Kote or Santosh Pai, as I remember, they would open the door and say, "Ah, what happened, man?" And then you would say, "Hey, where is Swami, man?" You would say, "Swami is coming out in 2 minutes. Hey, give my letter to Bhagwan, yeah." And you see what Bhagwan, whether he reads it or not, and if he says something to you, you quietly tell me, what Bhagwan does. So we would tell them and implore them. Our own classmates who would sit with you, afternoon they would go for upstairs staircase duty. So that day I went, it was Ravi Shankar's turn, and he opened, he said, "Hey, what happened, man? You were there in the school today, you were there in the hostel today, you didn't go for the class. Everything okay?" I said, "Yeah, man, there is something urgent. I want it to be communicated to Bhagwan. Can you please hand over this letter and please see if Swami says something?" He said, "Okay, Swami's come outside, I'll show him the letter." He went up and I kept on sitting outside, praying in my heart that Bhagwan, please, please, please improve my condition, improve my condition. And then after 10 minutes, Ravi Shankar opened the door and he looked at me He said, "Hey, what did you write in the letter, man?" "Oh my God." Another fear that Swami must have read out the letter in front of Ravi Shankar. Finished. All impression gone. "What, man, you think good boy, eh? Useless fellow, man. What all he thinks?" And all those fears started coming into my mind. He said, "What happened? Did Swami read the letter?" He said, "Ah, Swami read the letter, and after reading the letter, he put it back in the envelope and he kept the letter with him. And then he said, 'Where is that boy?' He said, 'Where is Ramakrishna?'" He used to call me by that name. He said, "Where is Ramakrishna?" He said, "Swami is sitting downstairs." "Okay, tell him to come and sit in the front. I want to talk to him today." This is what you call in Hindi, "A bail mujhe mar." Huh? Ask for trouble uninvited. Now, my God, I was shivering in my pants. I said, "Why did I do this foolish thing? Why did I write this letter? Swami now wants to talk to me. And on top of it, he said, 'You come and sit in the front.'" Pah, finished. He'll come in front of everybody and he'll stand like this. "What, man? Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. Thu! You get dirty ideas in your mind. My goodness, in front of everybody, he's going to make fun of me." And finished. All impression gone. Everything finished. Now what do I do? Now I got very scared. I started praying to Bhagwan. See, I'm relating to you as it happened. No exaggeration here, because Bhagwan is sitting very much here. Then I said, "Swami, do anything, but please don't shout in public, Swami. In izzat ka faluda ban jayega. What is this, Swami? Bhagwan, please do something, some little bit of self-respect, Bhagwan, you need to keep. See, you are my Lord, you are everything. I can relate everything to you, what is happening in my mind. But if everyone knows, Bhagwan, what impression will be there? My lecturers, my professors, my warden, all that fear, you know, all those kind of question answer going on in your mind." And Swami must have been happily sitting, twirling his hand and laughing at my stupidity. And I was very scared, and those were the days Swami used to come sharp at 4 o'clock to give darshans. I did not go home, I did not go to the hostel, did not go to change whatever clothes I was wearing. I sat in those clothes only and kept on doing Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram. "Bhagwan, please don't get angry. Bhagwan, please don't shout. Bhagwan, please don't." I kept on doing all that. 4 o'clock, the boys came out, Khyaldas Garu came out. And now that heart was literally thumping. I could see my shirt move. It was thumping so badly. And I kept on praying to Bhagwan. And the moment click, that silver handle opened. Swami opened the door and straight he looked into my eyes. The moment he was such a serious expression he was carrying, he looked into me and he smiled. That first relief, you know, it was like after that terrible heat, that first shower which comes on. Swami smiled. I said, that means it is not so bad, yaar. My position is not so bad. If Bhagwan is smiling, that means he understands, he is God, yaar. He knows my position. See, I am not such a bad person. Now, what can I do if thoughts are coming like this? Huh? So I said, okay, good, yaar. At last this thing. Swami just looked at me, smiled and went for darshans. When he finished the darshans, he took a huge group of people for interview. Then he came to me, "Go inside." "Finished," I said. I said, "Thank God. Now if he's going to shout at me, it's going to be only in the private interview room. Nobody will get to see." I said, "Thank you, Swami, thank you." And I went and I sat at the end of the curtain in that interview room behind a fat man so that Swami doesn't see me. So first thing, Swami opened the door, put on the fan, put on the light. He went and sat and in Telugu said, "Em Samacharam." And then he looked around, "Ramakrishna, where are you?" And then I peeped out slowly from behind that man's back. "Swami, I'm here." "Hey, come here, sit here next to me." He made me sit next to him immediately and then he gave me that most beautiful and that loving smile which a mother can give. And then he put his feet in my lap. And then he said, "Karo, karo." That means do pad seva. I said, "My God, what a great good fortune. Here I am pleading to the Lord, telling him that, Lord, my mental situation is so bad. And here is the Lord inviting me inside. Making me sit next to him, putting his feet in my lap, and then tells me, karo." And then he started giving a beautiful interview mixed in English and Hindi because there were North Indians and a few foreigners. And Swami gave a beautiful discourse and it was so beautiful that I don't understand. I don't remember a single word because I was lost in that world of doing Pada Seva to Swami. And after every few seconds, Swami would look at me, give a smile and do like this. He continue. Chaltindo. So like that, you know, and I was just in that ninth heaven. And after everything got over, Swami materialized so many things.
everything. Then he materialized a laddu, and then it was, Swami gave it to everybody. Then he gave me, he said, and it was warm, and we were all holding that warm laddu in our hand, and Swami said, khao khao, straight from Swami's kitchen. Huh? Garam hai na? I said, yes Swami, bilkul garam hai. And then we had that, we lapped it all up, and there was a lady I know from Delhi who was there, bahut mota, bahut khata, abhi baki sara tumhare liye. Now imagine, there were 15-16 people inside. Swami kept on pouring from that one hand to 15-16, and when he cleared his hand, that lady's hands were full. I don't know which kitchen Swami makes this laddu and how he kept on giving that laddu to all of us, but we had that beautiful laddu and the smell of ghee and that love of Swami was there all over it. Swami then took everybody for an interview, and every time Swami would go, he would come and either pat me on my head or either pull my cheek, and he would go inside. He was playing with me, he was toying with me like Lord Krishna would do to another of his friends, like a mother would do to a child. And then my turn came in and I went inside the interview room. Now, this is a very personal part, but I'm sharing this with you. Swami looked at me with his hands behind his back and said, "Kya hua? What happened?" Then I said, "Swami, all kinds of thoughts are coming into my mind. I'm not able to meditate. I'm not able to do anything. I'm not able to think straight. Negative thoughts are coming, Swami. How do I control, Swami? I'm feeling very ashamed of myself. Swami, what should I do? How do I control my mind?" And look at the expression and look at the answer which Swami gave, which is this answer is for all of us. Swami said, "To kya hua? So what is the big deal in this? Huh? Here I am telling Swami that, Swami, my mind is playing tricks, and you say, what's the big deal in it?" Swami said, "Mind ka to nature aisa. Ye mind nahi hai. Ye monkey mind hai. Nahi nahi, monkey mind nahi hai. Mad monkey mind hai. Nahi nahi, mad monkey mind nahi hai. Ye mad monkey jisko daru pila diya hai, ye wo hai." Then he told me, "No, this is not just mind, this is the nature of the mind only. And trust me, this is not just mind, it is mad mind. No, no, not man mind, it is mad monkey mind. Oh no, it is not even mad monkey mind, it is that monkey which is intoxicated with some wine and then is sitting." He says, "When an ordinary monkey cannot sit constantly on a branch, do you think a monkey which has turned mad and which is intoxicated with wine can sit properly? This is the situation of your mind." So then Swami, I asked Swami, "What should I do?" Then he gave me that Brahma Vachan which I tell to every youngster whom I meet across. Swami said, "Mind ka to nature hi aisa. Tum mind ko follow nahi karna." Then he said, "Remember one thing, don't let your actions follow your mind." I said, "Swami, how do I do that?" Swami said, "If you are going into a bazaar and if you are wearing new clothes, white clothes, and suddenly you find there is dirt and there is some dirt and there is some cow dung lying there, so do you go and put your foot inside that cow dung?" He said, "No, you safeguard yourself from that dung or that dirt or that creature, whichever is lying there, and you move across. And when you move across, you make sure that your clothes and your shoes are not dirtied. But do you also make sure that your shadow does not fall on that cow dung and the dirt?" I said, "No, no, Swami, who's bothered about your shadow? Let the shadow fall wherever it does. I must make sure that my physical part, in the sense my pants, my shirts, my shoes do not fall into that dirt." Swami said, "Exactly. Your mind is like a shadow. Let it go wherever it goes. Let it roam wherever it goes. But don't let your actions follow your mind." He kept on thrusting, "Don't let your actions follow your mind. Let any kind of thought come. Let any mischievous thought come. Let any negative thought come. But don't follow that thought. But the moment you get a good thought, do it immediately. Do it immediately. This is how it will lead you Godwards." Swami said, "Jis mind ko sadhne ke liye sadhak log kai sainkdo baras ki tapasya karte hain Himalay par, us tab bhi apne man ko nahi sadh pate, to beta, kya tum 2 mahine ki sadhna mein ye samajhte ho ki tum apne man ko purna roop se sadh loge? Can you train that mind in just 2 months of sadhana, which cannot be trained after hundreds of years of tapas, which all these hermits do? So would you really be able to do it? You leave it to Bhagwan. Bhagwan will do everything to you. Just follow one discipline in life. You are like a fly. When you go and sit on a sweet shop, alright, when you sit on a sweet shop, that means you have partaken of that sweet. You have taken that sweet. But the moment a dirty cart which goes there with full of dirt and dust which it has collected from the corporation, the moment the shopwala clears up all the flies, do the flies still remain in the shop? No, they go outside and then they go and sit on the cart. Swami says the only discipline which you need to follow is that once you have tasted that sweetness of Sai, why should you go and sit on that dirty cart of the world? Just train your mind to have that sweetness of Sai's name. Don't let your actions follow your mind. This is all he told. This is all I try to do. I'm still trying. I'm still a student. I may have failed, Bhagwan, I agree. But then yes, Swami, I confess I'm still trying. And if at all you made me a better individual, if at all you made me a good human being, it is only because, Swami, you have touched me and I have grown. And trust me, my dear brothers and sisters, it is no doubt that you had done some kind of a good deed to be being in Swami's institution. Otherwise, imagine amongst hundreds and crores of students who are there in this world, only a handful will get a chance to come and study in these hallowed portals. You are truly the chosen ones. You are the blessed ones. All you need to do is keep your focus on, pray with all your heart, do personal sadhana, and don't let your actions follow your mind. This is what Bhagwan wants to tell. With these few words, I would first of all want to thank Bhagwan for having given me this golden opportunity to come down here and spend a few moments with all of you, the most cherished moments of my life, as I would say, because it is like coming home, coming to your own home. I only hope that each one of you would have been benefited by this. This is my humble prayer to Bhagwan, and I pray to Bhagwan to bless all of you who are present here with his love and his love, because this is what all of us seek. With these few words, I thank you. Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Jai Sai Ram.
Thank you. तो ना दम के दिए की जरा सी लौ।